Welcome to Clifton Health on Air. I'm your host, Danielle.
And I'm your co-host, Lauren.
And we are a local health department podcast here in Clifton, New Jersey, that also serves the township of Little Falls. How are you?
And we are located 12 miles west of New York City.
And that's right. And today's episode is all about our brand new opioid response team. And today we have with us Sergeant Gary Giardina of the Community Policing and Erica Shiroki from the Social Services Division. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Thank you so much for coming on to our podcast. And we're just going to dive in right now. Can you just give us a brief background of what you guys do on a daily basis, or like what you do?
Well, thank you, guys. Happy to be here today. So, yes, my name is Erica Shiroki. I work in the Social Services Division for the Clifton Health Department. I got my undergrad in public health, and I'm now working on getting my master's in social work. My focus is addiction recovery, and I'm excited to be here.
Welcome.
And thanks for having me. My name is Gary Giardina. I'm currently the sergeant of our community policing division within the Clifton Police Department. I've been in law enforcement for 18 years. 2 years ago, they asked me to go into the community policing division and open up the satellite office with the health department and get that up and running. So I'm really happy to be here and looking forward to this.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate your partnership down at the Botany office. And so let's just talk about the opioid response team. It's brand new. When did you guys start, or when was it?
So it officially launched on May 1st, so not very long, but, you know, we're excited.
Nice.
So.
And what's the purpose of the opioid response team?
I would say there's three main goals: to prevent future overdoses, obviously, increase the number of individuals who go into recovery, increase the number of individuals who go into treatment following an overdose, and prevent future recurrent overdoses, because I'm sure Gary can back this up. The police do see a lot of recurrent overdoses, mm-hmm. so our goal is to prevent that.
I guess on the police side, mm-hmm. What's the purpose on the police side? Like the community police side specifically.
Sure. So it's twofold. So the main purpose with the police department in general is, at what point does a drug investigation or an overdose response stop being a police issue? You know, at what point is it not a criminal justice mm-hmm. Issue going to the court or an arrest situation? And does the transition occur to just help the person? You know, because if people who are overdosing are usually victims to this disease, you know, the addiction, and it's not per se a criminal matter. Yes, there's violations of the law that go along with it. But we're fortunate enough in New Jersey to have the what's known as the Overdose Prevention Act, and that allows us the ability not to charge on somebody who's overdosing. This does not protect the drug dealers. This does not protect narcotic traffickers. That absolutely, mm-hmm. they do not fall under this. You know, they will be investigated, arrested, and prosecuted. It's the people who need help, who are using the narcotics to ease pain or for whatever reason that they're using it. So this is the transition, I would say, from policing to a social service. This is the handoff from, okay, we responded, we administered the Narcan, we seized the narcotics, because we do seize it. You know, obviously they don't get it back. You know, mm-hmm. it's seized, it's tested, it's destroyed. We do track it, but now it's the, how do we help you? You know, so this is where this team comes in. This is where the overdose response team now is I would say, activated. The community policing purpose, using the community policing division, I think, is the second fold in this, which is the outreach. Okay. You know, so we're mm-hmm. we're all specialized. We all have detective backgrounds. We're a small unit right now. It's just myself and two detectives. And then actually this week I'm getting assigned two more detectives. So. We're very excited to...
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. We have the support of our chief. He recognized that it's important and to grow the unit. So we are expanding, and that's very exciting for us. So in relation to the overdose response team, you know, it's the outreach. It's the police are here to truly serve and protect. You know, we're not looking to just go and arrest people. We're looking to make the referrals. We're looking to make people educated in what's going on and take that next step. So it's, you know, when we have to be cops and we have to do our job and the public trusts us to do our job, we're going to do it. And if that turns into an arrest, not specific the opioid response team, but, you know, we're still law enforcement. But this is the transition to where does that end and where does this helping people begin? And that's what I'm proud of. And that's I think, what's really cool about the opioid response team, because it's merging that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
And I think the health department also is really excited about this partnership that we have. And so I know a little bit about the process, but can you just explain what happens when you do get a call or notified that an opioid has happened?
Yeah. So far, we haven't had many, which, you know, is a good thing. But we get notified by Gary specifically. Mm-hmm. We just get told the information that we need to know. And then we go out together. So a social services employee and a community policing officer. Mm-hmm. And we'll visit the house, just kind of show up and have a conversation. Not really, you know, we let them know that no one's in trouble. That's not the goal. Our goal is to sit down with them, give them support, education, not only for the individual who experienced the overdose, but also the family members, because I feel like they don't get enough attention, and it affects everyone in the household. So yeah, it's very, I would say, informal.
Okay.
And just more of a conversation and a helping hand.
Yeah.
From the police side, it's you know, the whole process starts with the initial 911 call. And, you know, whether it's from the person themselves or family member, friend, or whoever comes in, that someone might be experiencing an overdose. Or sometimes they come in as just a medical, you know, a trouble breathing, and then we get there and later learn that, you know, someone took a substance. Mm. So obviously, whenever that happens, you know, EMS arrives. People usually are transported to the hospitals. Rare occasions, sometimes they're not, but a few, you know, that's very situation specific. But the officer would then generate a report. That's something me as a police sergeant would review. When we do identify there's an overdose that requires a follow up, we'll share certain information.
Okay.
So I want the public to realize they're not getting investigation report, they're not getting the police report, they're not getting certain information that just isn't appropriate for for, say, the social services purpose.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But we are sharing, you know, that someone out there needs help.
Yeah.
So that's what we're
the helping hand.
Correct.
Basically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just not, and I stress this on when we go speak to the public and stuff like that, this is not a criminal investigation. Mm-hmm. You know, and I want everyone listening, if one day you're involved, I want you to trust that it's not a criminal investment. We're not going with the purpose to arrest people. We do have the ability, like I said, with the Overdose Prevention Act to not arrest people. That's what we're using to hand this off to social services. So that's how the process would start on the police end.
I know on the social service side, is there any information or resources that you give out, or how would they connect to specific resources?
So it depends on how the individual receives the information and, you know, our presence in general. So if they, let's say, aren't looking to go into treatment right away, but we do get to at least introduce ourselves, we'll give them just our social services brochure which has all of our contact information along with some resources in there, and also a little educational booklet that discusses addiction and the recovery process. And we just let them know, like, you know, if you change your mind, we're always here to reach out. If, let's say, the individual says, you know, I want to go into treatment, like, today, then we've researched a lot of recovery treatment facilities in the area. So depending on the individual's needs and what kind of treatment they're looking for, from then we would contact different facilities and see their availability in hopes of getting them into treatment as soon as possible.
I think this kind of is a piggyback question, In your opinion, why would you think this team or the opioid response team is so important to the community?
From a resident's perspective, you know, the opioid epidemic has really just skyrocketed over the past few years, especially with fentanyl becoming more prevalent everywhere. Not only are we trying to get people into addiction recovery, but also just like harm reduction in general. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, there are going to be people who aren't ready for treatment, and we want to prevent deaths, basically. So it's just really important with how often we see opioids, especially in the area.
I think the reach of, you know, addiction and opioid use is very far-reaching, and I think everybody has either a friend, family member, knows a story of a tragic situation or what potentially could become one. I think it affects way more people than admit it. Mm. So it's out there. You know, it's a problem. The city of Clifton's not immune to it. I mean, it's a national problem. It's an international problem. But Clifton definitely experiences it, you know, just like anywhere else. And I think personally, I've had a friend years ago, and call it a passion project now, if you will. But when I was 17, a good friend of mine overdosed and died. So if this program existed at that time, would that have happened? Mm-hmm. You know, and if we could save one, then right. I think we truly did our job. If we could put mm-hmm. that speed bump in the process, and if we have someone who, because we do experience, and Erica hinted to it before, where we have people who we've responded to their house 2, 3, 4, mm-hmm. a dozen times, you know? Mm-hmm. And you don't know when that fatal dose is going to happen, mm-hmm. especially now with the introduction of fentanyl, and people could be chasing higher. They think they can use maybe 2 bags a day, and then they don't realize that, hey, well, now it's a lot stronger, and that second bag's going to be the fatal one, mm-hmm. you know? If we can interrupt and intervene that process, and we can offer the help, and hopefully they take it. You know, obviously we're not forcing anybody, but at least they know that that door is open. And, you know, if they call us and they say, we want to go to rehab right now, or, hey, I just want someone to talk to, we have that foundation now to be able to place them wherever they need to go. We're not going to be able to solve all the problems, you know. Mm-hmm. We understand that. But this is a true attempt to make a difference. You know, we're all working anyway. You know, the police officers are there. My staff is here. So if this is something, you know, we're not replacing any workload with this. Mm-hmm. So it's something we could do in conjunction to what we do already. The people mm-hmm. are here. Let's use them. Yeah. You know, let's try. If it doesn't work, you know, then it doesn't work. But I think mm-hmm. it is, you know. And I think that's what's important is we're just going to try. We're going to try to save someone. And I'm very optimistic that we will.
Me too. You know, and I think it's also important to mention that we're trying to kind of break the stigma. Mm-hmm. Stigma, you know, I'm sure you hear that word a lot, but when it comes to addiction and substance use or alcohol use, there is, you know, people automatically get a certain opinion when they hear about an individual who might be experiencing this. And like Gary said, everyone knows someone who is, if you personally aren't affected by addiction, then someone you know is, which is, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's why we're here to do what we do. And like Gary said, if it doesn't work, then, you know, we did our best. But I also feel very optimistic about this because it's a different approach than what most organizations do.
I definitely haven't heard about it from any other large city, I would say. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I'm sure you have. But I think this is an awesome way to get into the community. I think it's so helpful. Yes, the personal stories and the personal testimonies, we don't know it. We don't know who's sitting next to us who might have had a personal testimony. But you guys are putting the work in and going door, like you're going out there mm-hmm. to help somebody's family member. That's what you're doing. And that is so important. Yep. And so I know that the community impact is going to be wonderful mm-hmm. in the long run. But can you tell us what your goals are for some community impact? Just to just like briefly, I know it's a little bit hard, but is there specific goals that you guys want to reach? I know you've talked about it in the beginning, but is there specific statistics you would like to touch upon?
So I think one thing that we're also aiming towards, aside from helping the actual individuals who are, you know, experiencing addiction, is to kind of change the public's perspective on policing in general, and just kind of improve that relation between the police and the residents, which I feel like the community police already does a great job of. And
absolutely.
And I think
we
this
love
will
our community policing here. Do. We really do at the health department.
Yeah. So I think that'll really only help. And just, you know, like Gary said, let them know that our door is open. We're always here to help. And yeah, just make people feel more comfortable looking for help.
And it's something, so just to go back to like what we were saying before with other big cities and not really hearing. So this is unique to our area. I've tried researching other agencies in New Jersey and no one has a true team that models this. Okay. We adopted it from, we had specific training known as deflection training, which kind of like it says, we're deflecting from criminal justice to like mental health, social services. So this was adopted in large success up in Massachusetts. Awesome. So that's the, I guess, the plan we're using. Okay. We saw how, you know, by the numbers, by testimony, by talking to officers who do it, we met with a chief who implemented it. Mm-hmm. Scott Allen, shout out to you. Great
we
job.
Love Scott.
He specifically came down to Clifton and met with us for a couple days.
Yeah.
And
that was awesome.
That was awesome. It's not something we just threw together. You know, this has been a process. And when it was ready to roll out on May 1st, it was ready to roll out. You know, we felt confident that, hey, we could do this. And yeah, if it builds the public trust in policing, I'm all for it. I think anybody knows the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years of what's been going on in the United States and policing issues and public perception of policing. Yeah, we don't deny it. You know, like it's certain things happen. Thank goodness not here in Clifton. You know, our officers are outstanding. I say we have the best police department in the state and I truly, truly stand by that. But there's a public perception issue, you know, of just police in general. And if it shows that we're truly here to serve and protect, absolutely, we're cops. You call 911, you're getting robbed, we have to go catch a bad guy, we're going to go catch a bad guy, you know? Yeah. You also call us for help. You're taught as a little kid, they go up to the police officer and ask for help, and that's what this is, you know? Mm-hmm. It's someone, hey, I need help, I don't know where to turn. All right, let us figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, let us do a team approach with our counterparts in social services and the health department, which I feel like we have such an outstanding relationship with. I know we're the only agency that shares an office, you know, with the satellite office. Other agencies are shocked when they come down and see that. And they're like, you guys are literally working hand in hand.
So has there been some improvement with the partnership down at the satellite office?
Oh, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's what I like about it is we're truly working together. When something's a police matter, we're handling it as the police. When something's a social services matter, we're handling it as a social services issue. But we're working together. Mm-hmm. So what's really cool is people come down and, you know, sometimes we're not all there at once. Who's on the road? Who's doing things? You know, we're still answering calls. We're still doing our police job as well. Sometimes, say, Erica's in the office. Someone will come down and say, hey, I noticed this issue at this house somewhere, and I think the police need to get involved. She'll just call us. Mm-hmm. Hey, someone's in the office that wants to talk to a cop.
Yeah.
All right, cool. We'll have people come into the police side of the office and say, hey, my food stamps are getting denied. I need help. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. All right, well, hold on. We can point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. That level of comfort also.
It's really cool.
Is,
you know, it's
really nice to see.
It's in 18 years, I've never seen anything like it. Mm. I think it's really cool for the public. And it's like a one-stop shop, you know, and it's we'll get you help. You know, if we can't figure it out on the police side, we're going to call social services. If they can't figure it out on their side, we're going to team up and we're going to call every contact we have to get you to help. And we've done it. So it's just a really cool. That's the only way I can say it. It's fun. It's cool. It's a healthy working environment between the two. It's unique. It's what I like about it is, wow, we don't believe when other people come down, other agencies, my counterparts in other cities, and they stop by and they're like, we can't believe you guys are doing this. It's like, yeah, that's awesome. Like we're on the forefront of this. We're the tip of the spear with this. And it's really, it's really cool. And, you know, shout out to Health Director John Beagle, my chief, Tom Rinaldi. They really back us and give us the resources to do it. Mm-hmm. And to have an administration to support us like that is awesome. And plus, the team is just cool.
Yeah. We're like, a good time.
Yeah. We all have very unique backgrounds, very unique educations. I mean, my formal education, I have a degree in Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
Wow.
And I went on to grad school for public administration. You know, we have, you know, Nate, who works in the office, who's military. You know, he's a combat veteran. You get an awesome perspective from him on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tom, outstanding, work with kids. Erica, I can't say enough about. You know, my staff, I have Detective Colucci, who's a longtime Clifton resident, second generation officer like myself, dedicated to the city, knows everything inside and out. That guy can't go into a business without knowing everyone in there. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
George Figueroa, one of our detectives, outstanding. That guy can walk down the street and get to know everybody on that street, and he's just an excellent cop, great investigator, and he's doing an outstanding job at community policing. And now I'm getting two other officers. Yeah. I can't wait to see how they grow into this position.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really cool perspective. We have a lot of different walks of life. We have a lot of different ages. We have a lot of different backgrounds.
Yeah.
We have, it's, if someone comes into that office looking to talk to someone they're comfortable with, they're going to find them, you know, which is cool.
And if they don't, then we will find them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just to piggyback off of what Gary said, I feel like we do have a really good relationship between the health department, community policing, and yeah, we just have a very comfortable relationship. We have a lot of support, and you know, I feel like we learn a lot from each other all the time. I know I'm personally always learning something from the cops, whether it's like just little things that, you know, you wouldn't know unless you were talking to a cop. And, you know, I would like to think that they learn stuff from us, too. So, yeah, it's very unique. And it's like Gary said, it's just cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool partnership. And I know from a health department's perspective, just being in the office and hearing the stories down at the satellite, the success stories, is phenomenal. And we value your partnership all the time. We love working with our community police officers. And we just like, yeah, you guys are super cool. So we'll keep you around.
I love that word.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to describe it.
I mean, they're cool. So if you guys haven't stopped by our satellite office and met them, just introduce yourselves to them. They are amazing community policing individuals. Community policing individuals.
No, we'll take it.
They're amazing people. And with the social services team, we thank you all. Like, the social services team, we had an episode, and they do so much. We don't even realize they do so much.
Yeah.
But they are spot on wonderful. Tom, Nate, and Erica. We love you guys.
We love
you guys.
You
are cool too. But and so we just, this team is gonna rock. Like, this opioid response team is going to help so many people in our community.
I agree.
So unfortunately, with a wonderful team, there's gotta be a little bit of challenge. Have you seen some challenges? Have you faced a little bit? I know, just starting it up, you guys are in the beginning phases, but was there a challenge just pitching it to the higher ups or not really?
So I think any challenges we presented, we were able to overcome at the moment, but we do, you know, you recognize them. We see like, hey, we're trying to start this program. Some of mine were just manpower in general, you know? So I think that anyone who's been following Clifton news, I would call it, knows the police department had a couple openings in our table organization. We were trying to actively recruit. We're trying to fill a void. So some officers just weren't there to pull from. They need to be staffed for patrol. Rightfully so. You know, they need, there's other positions that have to be staffed. What's awesome is now where we have academy classes that graduated, we have new officers, and now we're going to be able to add two people. So it's like, all right, cool. That was a challenge. We're addressing that. And hey, now we can move forward, you know? So, and some of the stuff is just workload, you know? So it's not just, we're not a dedicated opioid response team unit, I would say. So we have other jobs within that, you know, we investigate other crimes. We have other missions, in my unit that we have to address also. And I think sometimes the city doesn't realize how busy the police department actually is. You know, you see cars driving around, or people don't understand a lot behind the scenes. Like, for example, last year, like, calls for service on what police responded to was just under 70,000, you know? So we were like 69,000 and change. That's a lot of calls, you know, for a department that's floating around 150 officers. So and it doesn't mean they're all working at once. You know, who's a detective, who's on the road, who's working. We have to staff 24 hours. So there's just a lot of work, you know? But now that we're able to get the extra manpower, we're able to, at least in my unit, the department still hiring. If you're interested, you know, check out the civil service website. We're a civil service agency, and feel free to sign up for our exam. Little plug right there.
He's not kidding. He's not. No. When is the exam, Gary?
So, actually, I think applications are, I think they actually just closed last week, but we did a little recruitment drive. But we test almost every year. So, again, if you're interested, you can go to civil service website. There's mailing lists. They'll notify you when the next exam is. And by all means, if you have any questions, you can always email communitypolicing@cliftonpolice.org. Again, that's communitypolicing@cliftonpolice.org. Feel free to ask us anything about the response team, what our mission is in community policing, or if you have any, you think you want to be a cop, you have general questions,
right?
Whatever.
If you just want to be a cool cop.
Yeah, no. Only if you want to be a cool cop,
apply to the community policing division.
Well, you gotta come to the Clifton Police Department first, and then we'll see if you. We'll
cool
see
enough.
If we let you.
We'll see if the vibes are right.
No, just kidding. But so I would say those were our challenges. You know, we're moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool. So then we'll see what the next challenges bring. But the ones we had about, like, hey, we need a couple extra detectives to make this work. All right, we'll be able to do that. Like, all right. So now let's.
That's awesome.
See what the next challenge is.
Yeah.
You know, and then.
It's fairly new, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's.
It's a good challenge to have. Mm-hmm. And then
I like a challenge.
Overcame it. Sure.
But yeah, I would say the same thing on the social services end. Just like a lot of work went into this behind the scenes that, you know, I think people don't realize. Like, I probably called almost every recovery facility in like Northern Jersey over a time span of like months, just getting information and making sure we have accurate resources. We're definitely bound to run into more challenges. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
What's nice is any challenge we face, not only in our team, but some of our contacts, everyone is probably the most motivated group of people I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not too long ago, I had a situation where someone reached out to us, I would say like after business hours, and was ready to go get help. And this was before the opioid response team was built. And we called, I called in one of our contacts, Sean at Blue Crest. And, we were able to get them help almost immediately, you know? So it was cool. So like, that's just one example of a contact we have that's motivated, ready to go, you know? So it's cool. Like I think the challenges we face, you know, maybe there'll be small frustrations here and there, but I've never seen a team that wants us to succeed more than any other project I worked on.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the most stressful part was just like making sure that it's done right. Because, like I said, there was a lot that went into this. And, you know, when it's something that you're passionate about, you want it to be done well.
And I just want to say how great it is that you guys started on May 1st, because May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So
yes,
I just think that that's awesome.
No, we totally planned that. No, did we? No.
Yep. That's right.
No, I don't mean to laugh.
We
I
just wanted to sound cooler.
I actually didn't realize that until you just
said. Honestly, me neither. I'm looking at you. I'm like, right. Well, yeah.
No,
that
pretty,
was like my first.
That makes it even
like,
cooler.
Yeah, it was does. How cool. Yeah.
We're just so cool.
Right? How cool.
That's fun.
This
no, that's totally just appropriate. Yeah,
this
that's
episode's
really cool.
going to be called Sitting Down with the Cool Kids, basically.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that is a great point, Lauren. Thank you so
awesome.
Much for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So May
it's funny
because
we've been doing mental health stuff all month. Like
we
still have other
it.
Events coming up. And
yeah. And can you just talk about some of the events you have coming up that you want to share?
So we just did like Tom put together the autism awareness like touch a truck thing. We just did that. That was awesome. A lot of positive feedback.
Oh, yeah. That was wonderful.
We have...
Shout out to Tom.
No, it's community policing. So what we do is, like, well, we're not hosting events specifically, but we're attending a lot that's citywide. Mm-hmm. Going to just meet people, put it out there who we are. Like I said, we were a small unit for a while. Now we're getting bigger. We're just trying to let people know, hey, we're here. So we're just attending a lot of different things that are coming up. So I'm sure anyone who's out there is going to see us.
Yeah, that's true. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. But also, a few people from the health department are going to be attending a mental health awareness walk. So that should be good. We're going to have yes, yeah. They will be there. Like I said, they're everywhere. So we'll have a table. Feel free to come up to us. Just talk to us. Ask any questions. I also recently just started, also on May 1st, a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one to addiction, whether that be substance use or alcohol use. That'll be the first Wednesday of every month for 6 months. So I think the last one is the first Wednesday of October. So the first one went really well. We had great feedback, and we're looking forward to the next one.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Just to recap, this is your opioid response team. You guys started on May 1st,
mm-hmm.
and we are super excited to see what you guys do. Is there any last tips or anything you would like to say to our listeners?
I think it's important to put out there, you don't need to overdose to get this service, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yes, we're responding to the overdoses. If you feel like you or one of your loved ones, you can use some resources, feel free to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to wait for something to happen.
So if anyone wants to reach out to the opioid response team, if they do need any resources or referrals, what's a good number that you can reach or an email address they can contact?
So you can call my work phone. It's 551-237-3151. You can also email eshiroki@cliftonnj.org.
Our group email, like I said before, is simply the words communitypolicing@cliftonpolice.org, and we'll be able to get you. We're on the road a lot, so email is our best form of communication. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to you.
Yeah, and so if you are seeking some help or referral, don't be afraid to ask for help. Mm-hmm. We are here to help you, and we are ready to help you. We have the resources available.
Mm-hmm.
So please contact us if you have any questions specifically for the team. You can contact them. And we'll be adding all of the contact information and phone numbers in the description of the podcast. Thank you all for being on Clifton Health on Air.
Yes,
and we do wish the opioid response team the best of luck. I am sure you guys will come back. This will not be your last episode, Gary.
I know Gary wants his own episode.
This will not be your last episode. We will have you back on for sure. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you. Really appreciate it.
And have a wonderful day. And Lauren, take us out.
Tune in to our podcast every other Monday for a new episode. If you have any questions, you can email us at health@cliftonnj.org. You can visit our website at www.cliftonnj.org. You can follow us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Clifton Health. And before we leave today, let us ask ourselves, did you make a difference in someone's life today?